Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Did you describe the ruckus, sir?
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty. Danny's still out with the COVID. Doing well, doing better. Text with him today. His picks are in. We'll get to our picks at next hour, coming up at 1:30. This hour, we'll have Ryan Horvath on, our BetQL Network insider, the host of BetMGM tonight. But where we start hour number two is diving into Ducks and Beavs a little bit more. We bring on now from Duck Territory, Eric Scopel, kind enough to join us. Thanks for taking a few minutes, man. How you doing?
Not too bad, man. There's a bug going around. I don't have it, but I'm hoping to avoid it because I want to be able to cover this football game this weekend.
Boy, everybody's getting sick. Like, everybody, all around. Cold, flu, COVID, everybody's got the bug bitten lately. But Ducks and Beavs, this is a big one. I saw Bill Oram of the Oregonian, the sports columnist of note now. He is trying to look for a new name for the game. We talked with Angie Machado yesterday from Beaver Blitz, and she said she just still calls it the Civil War out of habit. Is there a name for this rivalry that you go with?
Oh man, I wish my brain was more creative.
Right?
I'm good at like nicknames with friends, but I'm not good at things people would want to take seriously. So I don't think I've got the brain to do this type of thing. There's enough ingenuity in this state, though, for somebody to figure it out. Maybe it'll be Bill. I don't. Yeah. I've just honestly been calling it the rivalry formerly known as the Civil War, or just the rivalry between the Ducks and the Beavers. There's not really anything I've seen that I like too much, which is, I don't know, a little disappointing. But I don't know. I'm willing to be creative if someone is creative for me. I guess is where I'm at. Yeah, I don't know if I've got that. The juice is flowing yet.
And we need something to get a little bad blood, and maybe this rivalry tightening up a little bit. We'll get that for us. Let's talk about this Ducks team, though. I think with Dan Lanning and this staff and, Bo Nix and his rise that we've seen, we'll talk about him a little bit as this goes on. But I think one of the most impressive things that I see from this team is how they can get back up off the mat, how they got back off the mat after the Georgia loss early in the year, and they just went to work after that and rattled off eight in a row. But getting up off the mat after that loss to Washington was something different because they had a very good opponent in Utah coming in right after that. What stuck out to you about the way the Ducks were able to play that Utah team that has been so physical and a thorn in their side for so many years?
I think what impressed me most is probably just the way that a lot of the things that have made this Oregon team so good this year weren't really on the table going into it, as we've established, one of the big games of the year against Utah. I mean, we didn't know, Bo Nix was unclear if he was going to be able to play. And I think anybody who understands injuries understood if he was able to play, he wouldn't be at 100%. And in doing so, it would remove a huge element of the Oregon offense, which has been design quarterback runs, RPOs. I mean, they Utah at a certain point just recognized, as I think most people did, is that if Nix isn't going to run, you just load up on the running backs, and they took that away. And another component of the lack of a run game and some of the offensive issues were Alex Forsythe, probably one of the better centers in the country, wasn't available for the game at all, and he didn't end up playing. So there were some things that were removed there, and for the offense to have, I know it's not huge success, but enough success early to build the lead, I thought that was crucial to get out to 17-3. And then I think the other part was, you know, everybody had been so critical of that defense, that secondary in particular, and some individuals, and they played their best game of the year. And I know it's a much better matchup. I think if you, you know, I know going into it, I thought, man, if there's a weak Oregon defense can maybe play a little better, it would be a matchup like this, just because Utah and Washington are so different, and Washington really plays some of Oregon's weaknesses, which is the lack of, I think, speed at safety and some of the coverage issues you have at corner and other parts of the field. But I was just really impressed with the ability to step up and the defense to make plays, because everybody had really kind of written off that side of the football and just said, you're going to have to win shootouts. And in a game where, as I said earlier, some of your best elements offensively were removed, you weren't going to be able to win in a shootout probably. To be able to make it kind of an ugly, low-scoring game and win that way, I think it was really impressive, especially because, as I said, this is a team that has really only won one way all season. You know, they had to come back against Washington State, but that was a game where they scored a lot of points because the defense couldn't get stops. And after that, it was basically the offense is going to do its part and get into the 40s, and you just hope the defense is able to do enough to keep it less than that. So I just think the variety of ways that they succeeded that kind of go against the grain of what we'd seen, I guess, in the previous eight wins was what really, I think, kind of stood out to me in that one.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that this defense had it in them. I mean, I truly didn't, especially against a Utah team that is as well coached as they are, and they got their injuries of their own. But I look back to, you know, the 14-point third quarter where, I mean, this team gave up 17 points, and one of them was their offense's fault on that fumble return. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the biggest sign of growth that I've seen from this defense, and in that game, I was like, they're not losing this one, is after that fumble, then the offense gets back on the field and goes three and out immediately. And they were back on, their defense was back on the field, and they responded with an interception. And that is something that, you know, that could have been the snowball where you get that fumble return for a touchdown, the offense goes three and out. And then how many times have we seen a Utah team, you know, just grab the game by the horns and say, no, now we're going to go on a death march, you know, punch in another one, and it's game over. But there's a resiliency with this team, and I think that it obviously starts with Dan Lanning. This guy's special, man, as a leader of men. And you talk to the players, and you get to see the interactions more on a day-to-day basis than we do. What is it that kind of sticks out most to the people that are around Dan Lanning the most, that he can get people pulling in that same direction, because they needed every bit of that on Saturday?
No, those are great points. In terms of just the top-down leadership that they have. And I think Dan strikes me as somebody, having kind of seen him, you know, deal with players, deal with media, deal with other coaches, that is, first off, I think, pretty immensely likable, which is valuable in every avenue professionally, right? I mean, like, mm-hmm. people that other people like typically, I think, do better in most career paths. And certainly, I think, coaching, which is so relational, that's the case. I think he's got a very dry sense of humor. I think he plays along with his guys. I think he's obviously a younger head coach, and so there's a level of relatability probably there that maybe isn't there with an older coaching staff. And that's across the board. I mean, Kenny Dillingham is only like 6 years older than Cam McCormick, the tight end. I mean, that's one of those things you think about. Like, your offensive coordinator is 31. You've got a player who's in his mid-20s because of a bunch of injuries and stuff. But
my goodness.
There is a level of, I think, just, you know, people around the team, I just get a sense there's not a lot of people who don't like him. And then the other part is you can be really likable but not very capable, you know, and maybe lack a level of competency. I don't think there's any question Dan's really smart and has a really advanced understanding of how a lot of things work for someone his age. And that's the reason I think he was sort of sought out to fill this position, was because of those characteristics. And obviously the track record at Georgia. So I just get a sense, being around the team, that he's kind of won everybody over just on a personal level. And then the cherry on top is that they also go, he's really smart, and he knows what he's doing as a coach. He understands the X's and O's. He understands from a leadership perspective of when to be hands-on, of when to be hands-off. I think one of the things that sort of stood out to me about this is maybe previous head coaches at Oregon have been a little too involved in certain parts of the offensive or defensive play calling, kind of depending upon what their background is in. And Dan is a defensive coach and has basically said, hey, the offense is Kenny Dillingham's baby, and let Dillingham really kind of run with it and do a lot of innovative, creative things. Sometimes that a lot of times have worked last week. Sometimes they didn't work, but like just the, you know, I guess confidence to kind of divvy up responsibilities that way.
You know,
really stands out.
You know, it does stand out. I mean, that does stand out. And I'm sorry to cut you off. Didn't let you finish your thought. I thought you were done there. But, you know, you mentioned Dillingham. It is his baby. The offense is his, and it's his old wrinkle. The smoke continues to come out, though, of Arizona State in that flirtation. How big of a deal do you think that is?
I'll let you off the hook on cutting me off, because I actually thought I was getting another phone call and I couldn't tell if I'd gotten disconnected. So that's why I had an awkward pause.
That's okay.
Full disclosure. No, but with Dillingham, I think that there's that's something certainly to watch. And, you know, if you're unfamiliar with his history and his background, he is from the state of Arizona, went to school at Arizona State. So there are certainly some ties there to that, you know, we have to be aware of. And he's, you know, so that kind of checks off a couple of just preliminary boxes of would Dillingham be interested in a job like that. But then there's the other part of, hey, you can't offer a head coaching job at a school that doesn't have a head coaching vacancy, and Oregon currently doesn't have one. So going to Arizona State is a step up in terms of you could probably argue or return home to family. I believe his wife is also from that area. And so that kind of aligns. And then you'd also have the, hey, you can run this program. And I've always thought Arizona State is a program that has a fair amount of upside in terms of location from a recruiting perspective and the size of the city, you know, the surrounding kind of Phoenix area and all that. So it could be a good job. But I think the other part that you have to worry and kind of wonder about if you're dealing him and even Arizona State is just the youth part of it. Again, you got a guy who's in his early 30s. Has he shown enough that he's ready to run a program? I mean, a lot of people are really good coordinators or really good position coaches, but not meant to be great head coaches. And I'm not saying I know one way or the other, but there is a lack of, you know, experience from what is he as a head coach that maybe makes it a little bit worrisome for Arizona State if they're trying to make a hire here. But there certainly seems to be some level of interest there. And if you're, I think, an Oregon fan, it would be kind of a bummer to see him take off so quickly because of what you've seen this year with this offense and just how dynamic it has been. This is, I think, undoubtedly the closest thing you've had in Eugene to, you know, the Marcus Mariota 2014 offense. So it's been almost a decade since you've had an offense this good and this consistently good. And to have the architect of that only be in Eugene for a year or less than that would be, I think, kind of a disappointing outcome.
Eric Scopel is our guest. DuckTerritory.com covers Oregon football and women's basketball for the Ducks. Now, you know, as it pertains to Dillingham, if he comes back, do you think there's a shot that the Ducks could convince Bo Nix to return for a super senior year?
I think that the ship is sort of sailed would be my confidence level would be low that they could do so. Does it mean that there isn't something in play I'm not aware of, but last I'd heard, I think he's, and we should note, he hasn't been asked straight up face to face, at a media scrum, about what his plans are going forward. And maybe he'd give a surprising answer, but for everything I've heard, I think the odds of that are pretty slim.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, we all forget about that COVID freebie that everybody
right.
got from that 2020 year where everybody's kind of getting that extra season. And, you know, with the world of NIL, there's actually – you could toss some money at the guy and see if he comes back. His health, though, I know he gave an update yesterday, and we saw him play against Utah. Obviously, whatever shot they gave him in the second half – or in the – before the game, it was wearing off in the second half. How is he feeling heading into this game against Oregon State?
Yeah, there's no mystery about whether or not he plays. He's going to play. The question is how capable will he be this week? And he did say his ankle felt better. We spoke with him on Tuesday. He said it felt better this Tuesday than the previous Tuesday. And that's not surprising given how injuries work, but certainly you were encouraged to hear a positive update of some sort. I think it remains to be seen what he can do and how much more he can do, especially as a runner. Because as I said earlier, I think what has made this offense so dynamic in part is that they can beat you in so many different ways. You have a quarterback who's a very capable runner. You have running backs who are really great in space, and you have receivers and tight ends that are also certainly capable of winning one-on-one battles and getting the ball up the field. And so when you removed the Knicks running aspect from the game plan last weekend, I think it was pretty clear how teams would attack you. And so I don't know exactly what he'll be able to do this week, but I know he'll be available to play, and you hope he's healthy enough to maybe scramble and get out of the pocket a little bit more, because that's been such an area of success, and he did that a little bit against Utah. I'm guessing you're going to see a continue. I would be surprised if we see a total return to the number of design runs and RPOs that were called in the past. I'm going to guess that if he does use his feet, it's going to be more from a improvisational perspective. But we'll see if he's even able to do that. I mean, you just don't know with these ankle injuries, and he didn't look particularly mobile or capable last game. And as we know, the one design run he did have was the final play basically of the game. And it wasn't exactly a super athletic play. He just kind of made a stop and dove forward for the first down. So I think that is the big question mark from an injury perspective for Oregon going into this week, is just how much can you get out of him.
All right, let's get it. The prediction. Ducks, Beavs, it is going out 12:30 Saturday in Corvallis. How do you feel about this one?
Oh, I haven't even gotten to what I think the score will be. You've put me on the spot. No, I think for Oregon to win, it probably has to be kind of low scoring again.
Yeah.
I think the way Oregon State operates offensively is a lot closer to Utah than it is Washington. And then certainly you look at the caliber of quarterback and just the style of how Oregon State plays, from a personnel perspective. So I do think Oregon defensively can probably muddy it up enough. And then you just hope the offense is capable. I think it's going to be really competitive, but I'll say Oregon 27-24.
All right.
Like that.
Woo,
it's going to be right down to the wire.
I love it. I love it. Eric Scopel from Duck Territory, 24/7 sports site, and also the Odds and Audibles podcast. You have got, but Nick Reed told me he keeps up with his Ducks through the Odds and Audibles podcast. So, you know, a Duck Hall of Famer. He keeps up with his Ducks through you guys. So keep up the great work, man. Always appreciate your time.
Oh, of course. I didn't know that from Nick. That makes my day. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. He said, you know, that's where I get my news from. So you keep up the great work, man. Eric Scopel, Duck Territory 24/7 Sports. That's really good stuff, man. And this is going to be really interesting to see kind of where the Oregon football program kind of moves forward beyond this game and this moving into hopefully a conference championship game for Oregon, as a win here and they move on to play USC in the conference championship game. And look, 10-win season, you get this win, you get the 10th win of the year, and you're moving forth a little bit more comfort. So we'll have more on this game, including the Bo Nix conversation and the future of Bo Nix a little bit later. Again, 1:30, we have got our man Ryan Horvat of BetQL Network, BetMGM, tonight going to be joining us. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I got a little change in my pocket, Gordon. Jingle-a-ling-a-ling. Wants to call you on the telephone, baby. I give you a ring.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Well, we had the surprising part of Monday Night Football was not the fact that the Arizona Cardinals got run out of Estadio Azteca by the San Francisco 49ers to the tune of 38-10. No. The surprising part was not Colt McCoy starting at quarterback. No. The surprising part was that they fired their offensive line and run game coordinator, Sean Coogler, and that, what's his name? Cliff Kingsbury said that on Monday morning, they sent him home from Mexico City and fired him across the border and did not give any details as to what happened. Well, we now have the details. And the worst day on the web goes to the Arizona Cardinals and Sean Coogler because they fired him after allegedly groping a woman in Mexico City over the weekend. On Sunday night, apparently this happened. Authorities were notified of the incident in Mexico City on Sunday. And the Cardinals immediately, to their credit on this one, the Cardinals immediately fired him and sent him packing and said, nope, you're out of here. And I said that that was the surprising part, is that like that they... I don't know what had happened down there, but the surprising part was that they just sent him to the airport and were like, get home, whatever. You're not flying on the team flight. You're not doing anything. So we're finding out, though, and this is why the Cardinals have the worst day on the web, is because back in May, their former running backs coach, James Saxon, had to turn himself into Indiana police for assaulting a woman in her home in Indianapolis. And in October, he was sentenced to a year in jail with a suspended sentence. He was given a year of probation. The Cardinals, they did not fire him until, and I don't even remember hearing about this. They didn't fire him until it became public in August that he had been facing these charges, which he got sentenced to, obviously found guilty and sentenced to a year in jail. That is a suspended sentence. But this is the second time that this has happened in less than a year, almost in 6 months, for the Arizona Cardinals football team. And I good on them for doing what they should have done back in May and firing Coogler on the spot and sending his butt back home.
Yeah, at least they didn't waste any time taking care of this one.
No. But we knew the details were going to come out and we're going to find out what happened. And It was an ugly scene, but the Cardinals acted swiftly, sent his butt packing, and sent his butt home. So tying up the loose ends, that's the worst day on the web right there. All right, let's get back to the footballs. Well, heck, we got a little World Cup action. I got questions. This weekend, a bettor's dream, a sports fan's dream, NFL, college rivalry games. You've got the PKI, the Maui Invitational going on. The Battle for Atlantis is going on in college basketball. You've got NBA action. You've got World Cup action. Let's go. You can bet on where Aaron Judge is going to go after he had a meeting with the San Francisco Giants yesterday. Let's bring on our BetQL Network insider, the host of BetMGM Tonight. Ryan Horvath joins us after Rust with SportsCenter.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. And Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Come on, man.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my penis. Put some of the beer. Making the tears rain down like
as always on Wednesdays at 1:30, we are very happy to bring on the host of BetMGM Tonight, our BetQL Network insider, Ryan Horvath, joining us. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Just getting set for Thanksgiving, get the day off, which is always nice. And then, I'm going to enjoy the food. Obviously, some good games. Hey, let me ask you guys a quick question, actually, before you guys get it. Let me jump on your show and ask you guys a question. I was talking about this today.
I love it.
So I like football on Thanksgiving, and I like the NBA on Christmas Day, but I absolutely hate the NFL on Christmas Day. Would you guys agree, like, now that they've added those three games, and this isn't just because I'm a Packer fan and I have to watch them get demolished by the Dolphins. I like to focus on the NBA, and I'm the biggest football fan, but I don't know. I don't like the NFL being added to Christmas Day now. I feel like it's just, like, too much, and I have to, you know, celebrate with my family and see family and friends and open presents and whatnot.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like they're stepping on the NBA's day, but that we talked about this when the schedule came out, like, in the spring or whatever, and it's like the NFL does not care. They will step on any league, and this is the battle that they're having with college football right now when you have the bowl games on New Year's Day. Like, the NFL is going to do it again on New Year's Day when they have games and New Year's Day falls on a Sunday, right? Like, that should be a college football day. I think that if there's a politician that wants to run on the platform of handing the NBA Christmas Day and college football New Year's Day, I'd vote for him. I would do it. I'm with you on that.
No, I'm with you. It's just like that's how we grew up. You know, I watched the NBA on Christmas Day. You got your football on Thanksgiving. Because the other thing is, football, I have to be, like, locked in for 4 hours, especially if my team's playing, you know. Yeah. Whereas with the NBA, you could kind of, like, you could pay attention while talking to your aunts and your grandmother and your friends and family. But, like, in football, you have to be locked in. The NBA, you really only need to see the last 4 minutes of the game. So that's my issue with the whole thing. It's just way too much. It's taking over the holidays.
Well, we do have way too much. And this may be, like, a degenerate bettor's paradise, though, because you think of all the action that we have coming up tomorrow and really this weekend, where you've got the NFL slate starting on Thursday. You've got rivalry weekend in college football. The World Cup is going on. And you've got NBA action as well. I mean, we've got a little bit of everything that the bettors can dive in on and look at, because there's so much action going on in November of all months.
No, it's true. And, you know, I'm starting to get into college hoops, which usually I'm locked in already, but it's just gotten so tough because we have college football and the NFL going down, obviously, but also with the transfer portal. I mean, even coaches leaving. You know, you got John Shire taking over at Duke. I mean, you know, Villanova has a new head coach. I still can't believe Jay Wright is retired. He's only, what, 60 years old. But I've been diving into college hoops. Like, I really like this Arizona team. In fact, they're going to start up. They're going to tip off here in a couple hours. They play against Creighton. Ooh, man, Creighton looks good right now, too. Both teams undefeated. Arizona's a three-point favorite. Really like them, actually, in a couple hours for a little bonus pick. But, man, I love it. Like, I shouldn't complain, but we got college football. You know, a really good slate always on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. And then tomorrow, I mean, the World Cup, it's awesome. It just doesn't feel like real yet because I'm so used to watching it in June, you know, like in the summer and going to those like summer watch along parties, although it's been a while since we've had the U.S. in there. So that's been pretty nice, the one match. So it's awesome, man. There's so much and there's so much to get to. It makes the show really easy, especially when you have 4 hours, 20 hours every single week because you could hit on everything. And the best part about it now is like gambling's pretty much legalized everywhere. We just finally opened up in Maryland today. So today's the first time I've been able to wake up in the morning and place a bet, not have to drive to Washington, D.C. But it's so tempting, and you also have to be very careful. Like, this is what I tell everybody, because you have college hoops. There's 120-somewhat games or whatever. You have college football. You have the NBA still and all these prop bets and all these added bonuses. You just have to be careful and watch your wallet because when there's 400 and 500 options a day, you know, it's kind of tempting to play them all.
Okay, I've got a question about college basketball because here's the thing with college hoops. Like, everybody has their team that they follow or you keep keep tabs on and you know them. How do you attack? Like, there's 300-some teams, and some of these lines that you see in college hoops in this preseason games are absolutely insane. How do you go about just kind of wrapping your head around the world of college hoops with all of those things that you said? Additionally, the transfer portal and guys like, you know, you have a guy from like, Northeastern Louisiana Tech who all of a sudden was like the five or four time player of the year. And he's got a fifth year COVID year. And now he's at Kansas. And you're like, what? Wow. Where's this guy coming from? You got guys coming out of nowhere. How do you wrap your head around all of this stuff?
And what's crazy is it's not even like guys that leave the small schools to go to the big schools. Cause that I've always understood, right? You start somewhere small. And then you catch on somewhere. Now, like, a guy will win a national title at Baylor or be in the Final Four, and the next year he's at Illinois. It's all about money. Money, and, I mean, man, that'd be cool, though, right? Like, especially in college. Like, you know, you go to, you know, UCLA one year and then say, let's check out USC or let's go to Texas or check out the Midwest and go to Michigan State and party out there. I mean, it's pretty cool, actually, but it's tough to bet this stuff. What I like to do in college hoops, so I covered Northwestern, actually, was my first gig, and it was when Chris Collins took over the program. And he told me this. He's like, you know, in the next 10 years, watch this. It's not going to be all about the blue bloods, Kansas, Duke, and Michigan State. And remember, a couple of years back, all the blue bloods stunk.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is find those mid-major programs, you know, with solid coaches that are probably going to take bigger jobs the next year. Like last year, it was St. Peter's. Then they got hot at the right time and went on that crazy run. And I like to find these mid-major schools, and I like to play a lot of underdogs, especially early on in the season, because the difference is, especially with these young teams, Kentucky, you know, Kansas, a lot of one-and-dones, a lot of just two-year players, where at these mid-major teams, not only are they very well coached at these schools and programs, but they have four-year players, you know, five-year players. And that's why you always see these teams. There's always three or four of them that go on a deep run in the tournament. So I usually like to find dogs, you know, 8.5, 9-point underdogs, solid teams going against bigger schools, and try to attack it that way. Because you could also, every once in a while, sprinkle a little bit on the money line, get plus 400, plus 500. And we always see upsets in college basketball because it's not only us that has no clue. I mean, the odds makers, you know, the people covering college basketball, nobody really has a clue that first month, 2 months of the season. I mean, John Calipari said he doesn't even put his defense in until the second month of the season. You always see those Kentucky teams struggle. That's usually a fade team for me early on in the season. Because Kentucky, they don't really run anything. They always get the best players, but it's always kind of a mess for like a month until they get into conference play and then they figure things out. So I just try to fade the young teams and look at those mid-major teams.
Love it. Ryan Horvath is our guest, host of BetMGM tonight, our BetQL Network insider. I don't know if I've seen a season like this in the NFL or a week like this in the NFL where, and depending on where you're looking right now, we have anywhere between four or five games in the NFL week 13 or week 12 that are double digit lines. I mean, we got, and that is huge number in the NFL to have double digit favorites. And we got five of them this week. What do you make of the disparity that we're finding now in the National Football League, where, you know, a 10-point win is a blowout in the NFL? We're used to close margins, and now you have even one of our Thursday games, the Bills-Lions, is 9.5. You can get it at 10 in some places.
I know, and a lot of it is, well, injuries, you know, in the NFL this mm-hmm. time of the year, you know, with some of these double-digit spreads. Like Matthew Stafford was just ruled out. Cooper Kupp's still out for the Rams, so they're, I mean, power rated a bottom team in the league. An interesting one, though. So some of it is also overreaction and not just injury, though. Yeah. Giants-Cowboys. Yeah. Here's one where the Giants have a ton of injuries and depth issues. They're going to be without their two top corners and their best safety. If this game was played last week, though, the spread would only be 7.5, 7 for Dallas. So that's 3 points. And that's a little bit of an overreaction because you had Dallas steamroll a one-loss Vikings team, and the Giants lost and look very bad in that game. But I think that's what it comes down to, you know, is there's always this perception on some teams. Like, I like betting dogs. This weekend, if I had to choose one, I mean, I think it's at 9.5 right now, but it might trend towards 10. I know how good the Niners are looking right now, but yeah. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction. The Saints still have a lot of talent on that roster. They're not mathematically eliminated yet. So I like the Saints plus 9.5. But that's what it comes down to, injuries and then overreaction. This team stinks. This team's malevolent. But I do not like laying big favorites. The one that I probably would, to be honest with you guys, is the Bills, because now the Lions have won 3 straight games. It looks like they're a real NFL football team, but they're not. Like, they beat the Packers. That's my team a couple weeks ago. They're brutal. They're power rated like the 4th worst team in the league right now. The Lions can't stop the run. The Bills, even though they don't want to run the football, are still top 10 in rushing, usually because of Josh Allen. The Lions can't stop the pass. Josh Allen's probably going to have a huge bounce back game after a couple stinkers. And then you have the Bills defense, who the Lions like to run the football. Bills are a top 5 unit against the run, but just getting healthy in the secondary. I really like the Bills tomorrow. And I hear everybody picking the Lions, and it makes sense. They're hot right now. They're double digit dogs. Everybody likes Dan Campbell. I just think this is going to be a good get right spot for the Bills. And also, favorites on Thanksgiving and these double digit favorites, I want to say 18-6 since 2004. I know they're hitting at a 73% clip. So, like, it's the one day, Thanksgiving's the one day that the public kind of has their way with the market. And it's the one day where I like playing the favorites usually, man, especially when it's the Bills and the Lions. Everybody's watching the game. It's a standalone game. Since I've been born in the early, like, mid-80s, the Lions have done nothing but stink on Thanksgiving Day and get blown out. So I'm going to go with the team that's favored to win the Super Bowl over the Detroit Lions with my money.
Okay, you mentioned your Packers, and this is the line that I wanted to ask you about. The Packers and Eagles, 7. Opened at 6, it's moved to 7, but is the only reason why that number, because this feels like it should be like an 8.5, 9-point line, because the Eagles have been that impressive over the course of the season, their body of work. Is this just Aaron Rodgers not being more than a touchdown over the Eagles, or what's behind this line?
Yeah, because I would make this 8, 8.5, yeah. and we'll wait and see what the final injury report says for Green Bay. I mean, but the thing with the injuries is they can't get any worse. They're without their best pass rusher, Rashawn Gary. I think that's exactly what it is, because, man, the market's been burned by Aaron Rodgers as a dog. I mean, they didn't beat the Bills, but they covered against the Bills, and then they covered and won outright against Dallas. So I think what it comes down to is, yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers getting a lot of respect from the market. But the problem is Aaron Rodgers is playing right now with a broken thumb, we find out. And, you know, Christian Watson's came on the last couple weeks. I really like him. But Romeo Doubs is still hurt. They pretty much just booted Sammy Watkins off the depth chart today. I mean, Randall Cobb came back last week, but, like, listen to these names I'm bringing up to you guys. I would have to play the Eagles. This is a nightmare matchup. I don't bet against Green Bay. If I were to, I would hammer the Eagles, because the Packers are 32nd against the run. The Eagles are a top 5 rushing team. The Packers just got torched. They actually just shut down Derrick Henry. You know, I mean, shut him down. He had, 90 yards in the game, but he didn't go for a buck 20 against the worst run defense. But it was because Ryan Tannehill, who's playing with a high ankle sprain on one leg, torched him for 340 yards through the air. So I don't know what the hell Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and all those guys are going to do to that secondary that's overrated. Yeah, I think it's lights out for Green Bay. And then we'll see what – then the interesting thing is going to be, do they shut down Aaron Rodgers? You could use the thumb as an excuse and evaluate Jordan Love, because you only have one season to do that now. Or do you have Rodgers work with these young receivers and play through an injury and play on a 4 or 5 win team? It's going to be interesting if they lose that game, but I usually bet Rodgers as a touchdown or more favorite, not in this spot, even on primetime. I think they're going to get demolished.
All right, before we let you go here, I've got just a question. You sparked my interest on the 73% win rate for the favorites on Thanksgiving Day. Are there any other trends surrounding kind of Thanksgiving week in the NFL that stick out, like teams having to travel and go on the road after Thanksgiving or anything like that may benefit the bettors out there?
You know, not the only one, yeah, and I know that it's 18-6 since 2004, so that's 73%. And that's Thanksgiving road favorites, not just favorites. That's Thanksgiving road favorites. That's why I like the Bills so much in that spot. So that's even more impressive. You figure the home team's going to cover the big number. To be honest, the only other trend that I really care about this weekend is we get Kirk Cousins in a primetime game without his left tackle, without Darisaw, you guys, going against Bill Belichick's defense that gave up, 100 yards to the Jets? They're top five in DVOA on every individual down. My trend, 11-17 against the spread in primetime games is Kirk Cousins. So I love New England this weekend as +2.5 favorites. Dogs. I would actually probably make them a favorite. I don't know how they're going to score. That's the problem. If you watch that game against the Jets, I mean, man, that's 4 hours of your life you'll never get back. The punt return was the only interesting thing. Zach Wilson put together the worst performance I've ever seen from a quarterback. But still, the Pats defense looks good, man. So I think they might beat the Vikings. I think we really overrated the Vikings. They're in a bad NFC North where their only competition is the Packers team that we just got done ripping. So I think they come back down to earth here the next couple weeks. And they're very overrated defensively. I think New England's going to run the ball down their throats.
Love it. Ryan Horvath, check him out on BetMGM tonight. He is our BetQL Network insider. Really appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Happy Thanksgiving, Ryan.
Yeah, have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Take care.
All right, there he is, Ryan Horvath. BetMGM tonight. Go find it wherever you get your podcasts. We got our picks that we need to lock in at the top of next hour. Okay, so we got some stuff that we need to get to. But Ben Simmons made his return to Philly. Got that warm Philly welcome. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Busy hour so far. We've had Eric Skoplon, Duck Territory, and we've had Ryan Horvath, our BetQL Network insider. If you missed either of those interviews, check them out. Les Schwab Tires Podcast at 1080thefan.com. We got a little bit of breaking news here on The Fan. Of sorts, of local film interest. The Goonies house has been sold.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. According to TMZ, they had multiple offers in on the home. It's been on the market for less than a week, and they have multiple offers at the $1.6 million asking price for a 2,300-square-foot home, three-bedroom, two-bath.
Curious,
built in 1896.
Did they sell the home next to it too? Because I remember seeing when it was listed that the you could purchase both homes in the same transaction if you so desired.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to it.
Okay.
All TMZ says is that they had multiple offers from all corners of the globe, which is a confusing statement because a globe does not have a single corner on it. but spanning the globe, there were offers that have come in on the Goonies home in Astoria, and it will be made public next week who bought it or whom bought it. I bet multiple people are involved in this. They got to make it a museum.
I mean, you would hope. Is the infrastructure there, though, for parking and such? You'd probably have to get like some sort of a shuttle.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of up there in a corner at
or
the end of the street.
Or you buy the other house and bring in the bulldozers.
Yeah.
Oh, very similar to the movie Goonies.
Whoa. You just blew my mind.
Plot hole in the movie Goonies. They were going to build that golf course on the side of a hill. It's just something that I'm thinking. Just spitballing here. Yeah. Just spitballing.
It is pretty hilly there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Well, it is quite literally on a steep hill.
Yes.
Going down. I had a health teacher who, in health class, we watched Goonies. So he could pause the movie and show us the home that he grew up in, which is like right down the hill. Nothing related to health at all. But we watched the movie Goonies.
Except for maybe the part they broke off of that statue in the living room.
Little anatomy.
Yeah, that's my mom's most favorite piece.
Oh, man. Or, yeah, make it a short-term rental like an Airbnb. Airbnb, you got to get a lot of people going there.
Well, there'd
make up for that.
There'd be some money to be made on that house, though, if you do that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so there's your Goonies update. I want to get to next hour Ben Simmons and his return to Philadelphia, because I am making, like, I sit there and I look at Ben Simmons and I am so torn on him. I do not know what to believe with Ben Simmons. Because there's a large part of me that I just sit there and I go, you know what? You quit on your teammates. Like, I know there's, you feel like there's a lot of stuff going on against Ben Simmons, but he quit on his teammates. And I hate that. I hate that he quit on his dudes like he did. But I also find myself cheering for him in instances like last night with the way that he was able to handle himself and play well, which shows me, like, I root for a guy who's had mental health issues to get straight, to get right, and to figure out a way to manage and deal, because I think that his story also can be inspirational. And I know that, you know, a lot of what was going on with him, you know, the mental health aspect played a big role of that. And that's an important thing and you can't ignore it. And so I'm really torn on him in his performance last night in Philly.
Yeah. You hate to come down on somebody who's been, you know, battling some demons. But yeah, you can't quit on your guys.
But it was happening. It was like things like this. He has a history of not being the best teammate, and that goes long before all of the pressures and, you know, the mounting mental health issues that he was having with his anxiety were coming to light, and like that. Also, I just go, all right, well, maybe he's just a bad teammate and he has his anxiety issues and mental health struggles, that depression and stuff like that. And like you could, they can be mutually exclusive. Like, they don't have to be married together.
Right.
You know, like is there a correlation? Sure. We can connect that dot pretty easily, but you can also just be a bad teammate and somebody that struggles with anxiety. And I think that may be where I lie with him, but that makes me also pull for him when he is able to perform well in a scenario that he never in a million years would have been able to play like he did last night. He didn't knock anybody's socks off.
No.
But you know what he did? He had 11 assists, I think 7 rebounds, 11 points. He had 3 blocks, a couple steals. Like, he lit up the stat line. You said special.
Yeah.
I think he nailed his first 2 free throws, too, and Philly was raining down boos upon him during those free throws. You know Gina Manziel? She used to work Oregonian, cover,
yes,
Oregon State. Then she went on to Denver and Phoenix. She's now working for the Philly Inquirer. She had a tweet last night during the game, which is, I mean, I could just imagine Gina saying it out loud, but it was something along the lines of the first F you, Ben Simmons chant comes down late in the first, but it's short lived because the quarter's over. I mean, Philly let him have it. But even after the game, he said, I thought they were going to be worse. And even Charles Barkley was catching heat. Charles Barkley was catching heat in this game because Ben Simmons, if you missed it, he was saying, I know it's going to be brutal. I know they're going to come at me hard. I'm looking forward to it. It's Philly. This is what they do. Like, they come at you, and they're unrelenting. Charles Barkley said this on, because it was a TNT game, on Inside the NBA.
Call him that.
He's wearing that big old jacket. He got a bulletproof vest under there.
Oh, stop.
Joking, man. I can't joke.
People got like genuinely upset at Charles. It's Charles Barkley for one.
Yeah.
And he was wearing like, it was Ben Simmons walking with a puffy coat saying, hope you got a bulletproof. Ben Simmons was making the jokes like, man, they're going to come at, like, I know it's going to be like.
Yeah.
And
Chuck
Barkley
knows Philly.
And Charles Barkley's not literally saying, I hope he has a bulletproof vest on underneath his coat.
Right.
He's being facetious, and he is going to a point where you say, hey, how extreme are Philly fans? You know, nobody is saying or advocating that anybody goes after Ben Simmons. I think like the pearl clutching on that one went, yeah. Wait, it's Charles effing Barkley.
Lighten up, Francis.
Thank you. There's a lot of very serious things that are said on the internet and on television that nobody seems to give a rip about and just allow it to go on.
Yeah.
Don't come at Charles Barkley and clutch your pearls because he said that about Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Come on. All right. Let's get to, we have some Oregon State stuff that we need to get into. We need to get into Zach Wilson as well. We will talk Zach Wilson in hour number three. But let's get picky, folks. Picks against the spread. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.